Chapter 9, Spying. Arthur's warning came just in time. I was heading for a tree. Wrenching the handlebars to the side, I barely missed the trunk. Spotting a branch above me, I dipped down and almost ran into a branch beneath me. How in the world do birds do this without killing themselves, I wondered, as I plunged through a mass of leaves. Pull up, Edward, shouted the elves. And pedal harder, added Arthur. The ground was rushing toward me. I pumped the pedals with all my might. Just in time, I pulled out of my dive. Swooping above the elves' heads, I shot back into the air. This was harder than I thought. When I finally felt I knew how to steer the thing, I landed next to my friends. Very exciting, muttered Urk. Remind me to wear a blindfold the next time you try something like that. At twilight, everyone wished me luck and told me to be careful. That's when we discovered the new problem. The bag the old woman had given us was too big for me to carry. Now what do we do, muttered Fireball. Moongobble looked at me seriously. Edward, I have always believed you to have a good heart. Do you think you can fight the evil of this stone? I swallowed hard. I can try. Then bring it back as quickly as you can. We'll be waiting with the bag. Feeling more frightened than ever, I climbed onto the winged wonder and headed for the village. After about 20 minutes of flying, I came to the clearing where Arthur had said I would find it. As I glided up from the trees, I saw the sky above me, dark and clear and filled with twinkling stars. For a moment, I wanted to fly up and up, just to see if I could reach them. Settle down, I told myself. You've got a job to do. In the center of the clearing stood a giant oak tree. In the branches of the oak tree was the elf village. I landed on a thick branch fairly far down the tree. As Arthur had promised, when I rolled the winged wonder up to the trunk, I found a hole just big enough for me to hide the machine in. Well, a hole in a tree wasn't such an odd thing, but a tiny stairway carved into the side of the tree certainly was. I started to climb. The stairs wound around and around up the inside of the tree. After 100 steps, I came to a door, just as Arthur had said I would. I opened it and stepped out into the most amazing place I had ever seen. Pigbone only has 15 buildings. The elf village had hundreds. I had never imagined any place could be that big. Well, not big. Everything was pretty small, of course. But all along the branches of the great oak were elven houses, and elven shops, and elven taverns, and elves. Hundreds of them, hurrying from place to place. I noticed they were all frowning and glaring at each other. This wasn't the way I thought elves would be. Then I realized it must be the stone that made them act this way. Even so, I didn't understand how bad things really were until I passed a side branch and heard someone crying. Looking to my right, I saw a squirrel tied to a branch. What happened to you? I asked. I didn't really expect an answer. Only a few of the animals I've met can talk. It turned out this squirrel was one of them. She sniffed a few times and said, Three elves grabbed me and tied me down. They laughed while they did it and told me I didn't belong here. How can a squirrel not belong in a tree? I took out my knife to cut her loose. All right. I don't belong in a tree, cried the squirrel. She thought I was one of the evil elves. Shh, I whispered. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to free you. Glancing around to make sure no evil elves could see me, I cut the ropes. Thank you, whispered the squirrel. Then she scampered off. I continued up the tree. Most of the elves ignored me. Some of them snarled at me. One offered to fight me, but I hurried past and he picked a fight with someone else instead. The higher I climbed, the worse things got. It was as if the closer the elves were to the stone, the more they were affected. I heard elves say things that would have gotten my mouth washed out with soap. I saw elves building booby traps for their neighbors, and I felt greater danger with every level I climbed. Finally, I reached the main level of the elf village. The buildings here were bigger, and many had signs on them. Acorn Lodge, a resting place for weary travelers, said one. At least it had said that before someone had painted "Go away" over those words in big black letters. Honey and Nuts, said another. It looked as if it had been a nice place. Now its windows were broken and its door was boarded over. I walked until I found a building labeled Town Hall. Next to it was the building I was looking for. Museum, said a big sign on the front. I went in. Dozens of elves were crowded inside, all staring at a pedestal. Resting on the pedestal was a glittering stone. I felt a sudden urge to kick the elf standing next to me. No doubt about it, I had found the queen's belly button. Chapter 10, The Power of the Stone. I slipped out of the museum and moved quickly away from it. After a few minutes, I found an unused branch. I climbed as far along as I dared until I was sitting on little more than twigs. I was so light the twigs barely bent beneath me, but every time the wind blew, they shifted in a scary way. I couldn't see the ground. Other branches blocked the view. I closed my eyes and thought about my home and my parents. I thought of all the good things I could to fight off the evil of the stone. I sat that way as darkness fell. For a long time, the elf village stayed awake. I heard shouting and fighting and several very naughty songs that sounded like they were being sung by elves who had drunk too much acorn wine. At last, all fell silent. I climbed back toward the village. Most of the elves had gone into their houses, but I had to pick my way around others who lay in the middle of the wooden path, snoring little elf snores. I hoped none of them would roll over in their sleep. They might fall off, and it was a long way down. The guards at the museum door were asleep, too. I stepped over them and went to the center of the museum. Three dimly glowing torches surrounded the stone. I picked it up and tucked it into my shirt. At once there was a horrible shrieking. They must have put an alarm spell on the stone. As I raced out of the museum, the guards stumbled to their feet, crying, "Stop! Stop, you thief!" Other elves woke and started to chase me. They were sleepy, which slowed them down, but trying to find my way along the twisting branches with only moonlight to guide me slowed me down, too. Just when the elves were about to catch me, a voice cried, "This way!" I looked to my right. It was the squirrel I had cut free. "Climb on my back," she cried. I scrambled on. The angry, shouting elves were right behind us. The squirrel leaped into the air. I think I screamed. We hurtled down about 10 feet, which at my size seemed more like 100 feet, when suddenly she grabbed a branch. It swung and swayed, flipping us back and forth. I clung to the squirrel's fur as if my life depended on it. The squirrel carried me to where I had hidden the winged wonder. I thanked her and hugged her goodbye. Then I climbed into Arthur's flying machine. As I pedaled, I could feel the queen's belly button burning against my own belly button. "Don't give in," I told myself. "Don't give in." Still fighting the power of the stone, I fluttered down into our camp. Moongobble and the others rushed to greet me. Reaching into my shirt, I pulled out the queen's belly button. I meant to hand it to Moongobble. I wanted to hand it to Moongobble. But to my own astonishment, I heard myself shout, "Get back, all of you! Get back, or I'll turn you into cheese!"